workshop, and we have speaker Jay Booker from Nashville.
I'm Jay, I'm an addict.
Hey, Jay.
Grateful to be in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I'm grateful for the committee for asking me to share. I was driving over here and I was kind of playing back the tape on how I got to here. My first Narcotics Anonymous meeting was at 18 years old in a county jail, and I only went to cop cigarettes. Couple more charges, prison, and another case did I end up going to treatment. And ever since I left treatment, I've been clean. January 26, 2010 is my clean date. I just celebrated 14 years last Friday. Thank you. My mom and dad, my mom was codependent, depression. I got tried as an adult when I was 16 and was looking at 23 years, and my mom spiraled. Her baby was gone. When I got out, I didn't do long. I took a lot of paper. When I got out, she wasn't the same. My dad was an alcoholic. I grew up sitting at the dinner table talking about how to get my dad to stop drinking. My dad passed in 2022 and he never stopped drinking. My mom passed in 2020, and there was ups and downs, and she battled with depression and codependency and all kinds of other addictions her whole life too. I was the black sheep. I was the one that always got in trouble. Consequences were not really a fear factor, just because at that early age, I got the worst case scenario and then I lived through it. So I had a mentality that I'll take the charge. With that came a lot of pain. With that came a lot of drugs. I thought I was a successful drug dealer. Unconsciously, I only sold drugs to not go to the drug dealer's house every day. That was the routine. I also lied to myself and acted like I didn't have a problem because I was just re-upping. Looking back, doing step work, talking, actually like doing the digging on where I come from, the family dynamic, why I am who I am, and what made me this way is like what I live and breathe today. At 14 years, I am still digging. Sponsorship, meetings, prayer, and I'll talk about that in a minute because they just told me I got a long time. But this journey has been individualized. The one thing that I gravitated towards when I walked into an NA room or a meeting, any kind of room, is that y'all allowed me to do it. I like, y'all give me the steps and y'all let me be me. And so with that, I have been able to like really learn from everybody and see what works for me, try it, come back to the meeting, share about it. That hurt. Not doing that again. That didn't hurt that bad. I'm gonna do that till the end, you know, like whatever it was. So like everything under the sun, I wouldn't say that, but close. And I've went through in Narcotics Anonymous in the past 14 years, except use. When I got here, that's all they told me I had to do right was just don't pick up. And I haven't. I've done a lot of stupid shit. I went to jail clean, got in a fight at a meeting, hired and fired a bunch of sponsors, was the playboy for a couple years, sports gambling, sex, fishing, Bitcoin, trading. I've used all kinds of shit, but I haven't used drugs. And so what happened was when the pain got great enough without the use of drugs, which is a whole lot shorter period, I was able to utilize my network, go to a meeting, share about it, and then change my behavior. And that is the gift that Narcotics Anonymous has given me, that I eat, breathe, and everything else with to this day. I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got out of treatment and went to an NA meeting at noon, and y'all told me to raise my hand and say I needed a sponsor, I did it. And I didn't like them. And then I went to another meeting and I saw somebody I liked and I went and asked him, would he be my sponsor? And he goes, do you have a sponsor? I said, yes. And he taught me how to change sponsors and be honest and said, if they are working a program, they will be happy for you and they'll stay in your network. Like everything that I have learned is from y'all. Hindsight, everything that y'all teach me is what my parents were yelling at me my whole life. But I didn't hear that. And so the cool part is, sorry, and that's not a beer table. I'm a soda water connoisseur. So like, today I stand here. And I'll tell you a little background, too. I got out of treatment, went to a meeting. My counselor told me to go to a halfway house. I went to a halfway house, and everybody in the halfway house was working at Burger King. I still had my car and everything. I just was spiritually, mentally, and emotionally defeated, and everybody that loved me did not want me around. I used a fake resume because I'm a good addict, and I went out of town and learned how to work on airplanes. Don't worry, it wasn't flight critical. But the pattern of chameleon, the any means necessary, the hustler mentality. It was like, I wanted, if you're going to tell me that my life, I'm ruining my life at this point, right? And then I stop. There's like an overwhelming like avalanche of feelings, emotions, and like regret that I carry. And like, obviously, I hope y'all can identify, if we look back, it's so overwhelming, we just slick continue. It's easier. By God's grace, I pulled another slick move, grabbed the resume, went to Macon, Georgia. Third shift, I literally walked in acting like I've done this before, and I started watching everybody work, just like I watched all y'all stay clean. And they fired me because of my background. And then my sponsor that I started calling every day, when I lost that job, I called my plug and I set it up, and I was coming back to Nashville from Macon, Georgia, I think it was like a Tuesday. I was gonna wire money Thursday, and I've been calling my sponsor every day, and that day I had to call him that night. And I was just like, man, if I don't call him, you think I'm gonna get high, and then fuck it. You know, the fuck is. I called him, tried to fade him, and then I got honest. I was just like, man, they done fired me. I didn't make the phone call, man. I was like, fuck this shit. And I'll never forget, he was just like, hey, look, when you get back in town, call me, let's meet and have coffee. And it was like that smooth. I was thinking I was going to get in trouble. I thought that, you know, all I know is the sound of my dad and all the other times I fuck up. So, like, it was just a natural response for me to go defeated and not care. And it was the first time somebody, like, approached me and just responded differently. And I did not wire that money. I have the same clean date from selling drugs as I do from using drugs, which was a struggle for me in the beginning. I did miss the money. I did miss the hustle. I did miss the control. I missed the power. I missed the... having something to do that was meaningless, but it made me feel like I was worthy. But I didn't do it. And then I shot that fake resume again, got a job in Mobile, Alabama, met a guy that kind of sponsored me through and showed me how to really work on airplanes and do that. And I'll never forget, he taught me one thing. He said, it's all about confidence. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you don't have to know nothing. But if you walk in with your chest high and you're confident that you can do it, it speaks volumes. And I literally took them words, kept getting beat up. They chased me down from my background too. I've moved a couple more airports on the East Coast, and then I ended up landing the job in Nashville, Tennessee, and where I went back to school, got my airframe license, and I worked on an aircraft for 10 years and bought a house, paid all my child support off, and became a regular member of society. Who taught me that? You taught me that. My parents did not. That was noise. And so I say that to say that, like, throughout all this process, I was a meeting maker. I was taught meeting makers make it. Went to a meeting every day out of town. I raised my hand. I'm Jay. I'm from out of town. I have Indianapolis connects, Cahokia, Illinois connects, Chicago connects, Mobile connects, Macon, Georgia connects, conventions, Atlanta. It goes on and on with complete strangers that have a common bond that turn into family like the lights turn on. And when I found y'all, I found my home. And like, so it's like really just deep, heartfelt, like love for the program, because I was the hopeless addict. I was the one that like truly believed that I was gonna be absolutely nothing. I thought I was gonna catch a 20-year sentence. Back then, not a lot of people OD'd like they do now. So like that really wasn't the trajectory. It was more of like, I am a catch life. So in 2020, well, let me start with this one, spirituality. I went 9 years before I could say I had a higher power. I was raised Baptist. I liked church, but I didn't fit in. I didn't connect spiritually. I loved Jesus, but I just didn't connect. The group was my higher power at one point. She was my higher power at one point. My network was my higher power at one point. I didn't have a higher, like I was just aimlessly floating a lot of the time. You know, Wayne Dyer says it's like good orderly direction was God, right? Like I just was doing the right things for the right reasons and shit was just working out. And I stayed in the lanes is how I was trying to navigate. Due to my decision making and my lack of responsibility and some other areas, I hurt a lot of people. And in return, I broke a person's heart that when I actually had to look them in the eyes, it broke my heart that I broke their heart. And I don't know if that's selfish or not, I mean, obviously, but it was the straw that shifted me into a different direction on the fact that, like, at 9 years clean, I didn't like who I was, clean time or not. House and, you know, my family thought I was the shit because I worked at the airport. It was really weird. They did not believe I could do any of that. Let me just say, nobody co-signed. Everybody thought it was a bad idea. My sponsor told me not to use a resume. So just FYI, and I'm going to put this out here because this is my experience. As long as you're not going to use drugs and not hurt anybody else, man, like, try. Don't let somebody write your story. You are allowed to have your own story, and it might not look like what's his name's or what's her name's or my sponsor's. My sponsor is a 65-year-old, big old black dude that does not look like me or does not have the same life as me. But we identify from the heart on this program and the basic principles and what we have to do for the rest of our lives, no matter what, and what it's done for our lives, no matter what. So I hurt someone, and when I did that, I like shut down, locked myself in my house, and hid from the world and really went inward on like a spiritual level. I read the book, The Power of Now. I did kintsugi projects. I started painting. I started meditating. I started like just seeking a higher power with none of y'all around me. And I embarked on something that has turned into like a big bright light that I walk around with on a daily basis. Sometimes I don't really have identification, and that's my shit, right? Like I can explain, but that's not why I'm here. When I did that, it was probably August, September, October of 19, and December 10th, it's written on a mirror in my house, December 10th, 2019, I sent my first resume to Change Careers, and I got denied because I was trying to work in treatment, and I was like, oh, I almost got 10 years in recovery, hire me, and they're like, next. And so January 12, 2020, I'm sitting there with a new girlfriend because I'm gonna try that again. And my brother walks across the street and tells me that my mom didn't wake up. I don't know the timing of how my little plan in life is, but I do know that if it wasn't for August, September, and October of me doing that seeking, I wouldn't have made it. January 26, 2020, I got 10 years. And I didn't want to celebrate. I was a brand newcomer. I've never been through anything. I've lost a dog before that. February 8th, I quit the airport. Cashed out my 401k, don't worry, it was only 15k, and I was like, you only live once, fuck it. I got a job, the lowest paying job in treatment, and I was determined, just like the little fake resume, that I'm gonna do what I can do. I feel like I could see it. So fast forward a little bit, I went through job hopping, COVID happened. Luckily, I jumped in a career where it's still open. So I went to work. I worked a lot throughout that year, and then my dad got tongue cancer. I had to take my dad to the hospital like he was 7 years old. When all in my step work was the resentments of my dad and how I couldn't even, I still, to the day he died, couldn't answer the phone after dark. Cleaner, you know, like with spirituality and all the principles, like I ain't got it. He beat the tongue cancer. I started sober living. I went from one house to four houses in a year. He passed. I buried him, and then I tried to go to a trauma-informed treatment. They denied me. I went to an all-day intensive treatment. I was grieving and using people to make me feel better. And then when y'all didn't work, I would isolate. Depression, anxiety. So my trauma is the fact that my mom took all these medicines and it never worked, and she got worse, and she went up, down, and doctor was God. And so, like, I embarked on the cold plunge and the saunas and the meditating and all the hippy-dippy shit, right? And I still do this to this day. But that was the time that I started utilizing all those things. And I ended up, fast forwarding back to 2023, my grandfather passed. The goal was to open a treatment center. And so 2 days ago, I just had an open house to the treatment center that I'm opening next month. And when I stand here and tell y'all, and I remember when I had a fake resume, swearing to God that, like, I hope somebody gave me a chance, you have no idea what life's got to offer if you just stay in the lanes. And the only lane you gotta stay in is don't use no matter what. I went to therapy yesterday, and my new issues, my new problems is I have to be careful from identifying isolation with insulation. I'm a big people person. I love people. But I also have to recharge. And a lot of times we're taught that, like, hey, isolate, you know, you're dangerous left by yourself. And like, I've learned that I need a couple hours. And I put myself in a position where, like, a lot of people depend on me. The responsibility is fucking crazy. I'm sitting there going, like, I went to a judge and lawyer event last night before I drove down here, and I sat down with the paralegal that helped me. Oh, let me talk about the fact that I got my oldest daughter and I turned into a full-time dad, and I was like, kiss my ass. It's easy being a part-time dad. But I did all that with it. She just turned 18, just graduated high school early. She's fixing to shine. I mean, like, she's doing great. My youngest is 12. We just pulled her into a private school because it's lit in middle school these days. And the fact that I get to parent and help the kids get in the right lanes and be there to support them, it's all because of y'all. Because my parents didn't do that, right? They didn't know no better. I can't be mad at them, but, like, I walked in here, learned this, which opened my mind, and I was willing to go out there and learn some of that. So, like, let me say this too, man. They gave me the mic. This ain't the only form of help. This is my number one form of help, but this ain't the only form. You can do both. You can do that too. And you can, if you gotta do that for a little while, that's okay. Don't go back there. Right? We're trying to go forward. If it ain't going forward, then don't come at me talking about you said I can do that, right? Like, understand it, but it's 2024, right? Like, it's different. I don't want to knock, but I don't have TikTok, right? You know why I don't have TikTok? And this is not, everybody I know has TikTok, so I'm shooting. But I'm an addict. And I know I like to use. And I know when I use a lot. And if I use a lot, everything that I just told y'all about starts dwindling. Or it started, forgot that. Don't feel like doing that. And that's just one of the main thing. And I'm just saying that to say, like, y'all taught me that, right? Like, still no diss to TikTok, but I know me. I've done step work on me. I will use right now. I'll go out there, go to the bathroom, scroll, just to not think about what y'all thought about. Like whatever the fuck happens. And so I try my hardest on a daily basis to stay present, take in the feelings. If y'all know about feelings, we're so scared of them, but they never stay. They always change. And so, like, to embrace the fact that you're just this flowing river of feelings of going, hey, grief, I miss my mom. Okay, miss your mom. It don't have to ruin my life. I don't have to not be excited and happy because she's gone, right? And so the cool part is my parents, I named the business Trioni, which is my mom and dad's name put together. So it's Tri and Tony. And like the coolest part about this is like, and I say this on the mic too, my relationship with my parents is better today than it ever was when they were alive. And I don't know if that's fucked up. Some days I feel like it's fucked up. But it's almost a blanket of grace because of the pain and the heartbreak and the trauma and the... They did some fucked up shit and they didn't know no better. But the coolest part about it is that I walked into an NA meeting and y'all told me it don't fucking matter what they did. It's my responsibility. So it's like, I went through a lot of grief. I did go to that trauma treatment. I did struggle for months, just raw. Everything hurt. My skin was sensitive to everything. But I learned through the program, and obviously, and I'm over here sharing my ass off about me. Every step of the way, my sponsor, my network, everybody that I know is in recovery. My whole foundation is solid as fuck. I don't know one person that will even say some stupid shit to get me out of the lines. I don't really mess with people like that. The only people I hang out with are people trying to do better. Be better. Definitely allowed to make some mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And everybody gets their own process. And I, you know, when it was newcomer, I was just like, I have to be honest about my personal recovery journey. I'm meeting making, step work, sponsorship, prayer with y'all, right? The only time I prayed was circling up. And so I went to meetings prayer to prayer. so I could say I do that too. Today, it's different. I don't know when this thing's over with. If I got 15 minutes, is it 50?
Yeah, it's about 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes, okay. Tony said I could ask a question. Y'all got any questions? Go ahead.
Am I supposed to say my name first?
You can or can't.
Jamie, I'm
what's up, Jamie?
Hey. How long have you known you wanted to work in treatment? Like when was that like a revelation, or did you kind of come to it slow? Or
yeah, no, good question. How I wanted to know that I worked in treatment. So, NA guy, recovery guy, meeting maker, started helping people find treatment, and just knew a lot of people that worked in the industry, and went to an overdose awareness event, and was just, it's like a meeting, a bunch of people, a lot of family members that lost loved ones. And I met someone that asked me who I worked for. And I was like, I work at the airport. And she was like, oh, you would be good at this. And I'm like, what? And she was like, work in treatment. And I was told that, like, treatment, you don't make a lot of money. And so I was just like, yeah, I never thought about it. And then she responded with kind of giving me like the marketing, the outreach, the like that type of people, sales, you know, just that side of the industry that I had no clue about. And it was a simple conversation, and then I kind of started asking around, tiptoeing. And that was, so it was September, it's every September. It was just 4 years ago in September. And then I shot a resume December 10th to a treatment center. So it was, you know, a couple months of just talking about it, calling my sponsor, and hell, I don't know what he said. He probably said, you don't make no money in treatment. All right, let me see. Yeah. And then, shit, I don't know. Hey, I didn't expect to be doing what I was. Then we're talking about 4 years. I was just trying to be business development and do outreach and help people get services. I did not write the sober living. I didn't write a men's trauma track, mental health facility. I didn't write none of that shit. And so the cool part about it is every year that I stay clean, losses or not, my life gets better and better and better. And so I can almost admit, you know, like stamp it. Man, I'm going to be here next year, regardless of what happens. Because, man, I have my own evidence in my own life that this program works without a doubt. I don't give a fuck what nobody said.
What was your process early on in getting into step work? Did you jump straight in and immediately get at it? Kind of, because, I mean, it obviously worked for you.
I wrote on the first four, my still work process, the first four steps twice. I went 1 through 3, chain sponsors, went 1 through 4, chain sponsors, went 1 through 4, and then I've stayed with my sponsor now. So, like, there was a, and then I went to school and didn't write. Like, man, I've done, like, the step working process has been, it ain't the same. I didn't do the steps in a year. Like, no. I was the guy that, we used to talk about it, like, there's some hardcore book thumping step working writers. Or there's a motherfucker that won't miss a meeting, right? And then, like, that was kind of more my angle. It's like the people. I loved y'all. I wanted to hang out with y'all. We rode together, and we but yeah, nah, I wrote. My fourth step is dangerous, and then I wrote it again and again. I wrote it three times, and it's just like, now I'm doing a lot of trauma work outside, and that's and a lot of spiritual work. Last week, I was telling Mike, I did an all-day retreat, like a chakra yoga from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and y'all, I met one person one time, and then I didn't know anybody, but because of y'all, I know how to walk in and just be and introduce myself and allow a group of people not to get me over anxiety, and then I ended up experiencing, I mean, it was a blessing. And like, so it, I opened myself up to like all different types of things, and but it's all the same as NA meeting, if that makes sense. It's like I learned how to do it here. I still do it here, but I've like expanded with some stuff. Yeah, personally, just my story. Damn, that was only 5 minutes. Anything else? No, but like, I've been to this convention before. It's great. I have a picture of me, Trina, and Brenda Faye upstairs. Like, and I know that don't make no sense, but Brenda Faye, we lost Brenda Faye last year. And like, she was the 30-something year domino slamming at every event, bringing the love, and like she met me when I got here, and I gave her her coins when she celebrated, and she was like family. Trina is like family. These are these people that I've met here are my family, right? I got a 90-year-old grandma that showed up to the open house. Bless her heart, she sat through that whole thing, man. But like, she's the only one left, right? And then I got my brother and sister-in-law and nieces and that. But like, my mom, dad, grandma, like, it was just us four, with me and my brother. And so it looks different. Life looks different. And I was having a conversation with my daughter, because I want her to move out, about how life continually changes. The seasons of, you know, when I got 1 year, I was that. When I got 3 years, I remember celebrating. I hit every goal I ever even could dream of. And the only thing I'll never forget, the only thing that I said when I celebrated was, I'm envious of y'all's relationship with y'all's higher power. And let me say, I didn't get that on year four or year five or year six. But I did continue to keep coming back. And I got it at nine. And it took some pain to get it. But, yeah, so, like, that's, you know, if you don't hear nothing else, don't use no matter what. Go to a bunch of meetings. Get phone numbers. Build a network that will end up becoming a family. And, like, keep coming back. No matter what. Thanks for letting me share.
Y'all want to give him another hand?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.